I think the challenge of Scripture for us is to have high expectations and to moderate our disappointment in faith. And that, I mean, that's probably a whole other podcast.
Yeah, yeah, it probably is, to tell you the truth.
But an important challenge, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm.
Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions from our Sunday sermon raised by our PM congregation. I'm your host, Matt Willis, and I'm here with today's co-host, Mark Coleman. Welcome, Mark, to our first Big Three podcast. How are you feeling?
I am palpably excited.
Palpably. Great word. I'm keen to see how that unfolds. And rounding off our big three is Sunday's preacher, Mark Rader. Mark, what are you hoping our audience will take from the big three each week?
I just really hope that it increases our overall sense of engagement with stuff. I think that that can be really useful. You know, so often, you know, you hear something on a Sunday and you go, that was great. But to have some sort of midweek point where you can be reminded of hopefully something that God spoke to you or an invitation that you sense from God, that'd be really, I think, great for people to kind of come back to.
Well, this week, Rader, you launched our church's theme for 2020, You Are Here, which will be our focus that we continuously return to throughout the year. And you can listen to that message again through our regular GBC sermon podcast. But for today, as always, we'll be looking at the three big questions submitted through Slido at our evening service. So, Rader, to get us started, you opened up the message on Sunday referencing Michelangelo's The Creation of Adam, with God depicted up in the clouds, extending a finger down to Adam and humanity. And you talked about how this kind of illustrates the character of God being transcendent, but that the flip side and unhelpful side of that is that we can at times think that God is distant. If he's up there and all powerful, then that must mean that he's not down here with us and present. And so it's from that our first question stems from. When we do experience that God is seemingly distant, is that just our perception or is it a reality at times?
Yeah, I think that the feeling of distance is perhaps what we experience. Mm. And I think theologically, and this is kind of part of the point that I was making, that those transcendent, exalted images of God are totally appropriate and totally biblical and convey a really important theological truth about God. But distance and passivity of God are not actually biblical ones. Mm. And I think that if you start suggesting that our experience of God's distance is in fact the reality, I think that leads to all sorts of really huge theological problems.
Yeah.
Often that will end up relating back to us, right? So it's that whole thing about, you know, so if God distances himself from me, why? And it becomes about me, right? So it's my sinfulness, my lack of faith, my whatever it might be. And we can end up in what I have sometimes termed a bit of a yo-yo relationship with God, that we're close to God, then we're far from God. We're close to God, we're far from God. So I think that, you know, while it has its own challenges, the feeling of distance is what we experience rather than the reality of distance.
I absolutely agree with that. I think that's a really important thing to acknowledge. And it's that experience or perception of a reality that we can kind of adopt as a truth about God. And even in fact, the Bible can sometimes reinforce that, because the Psalms is full of language of people going, you know, God, why are you so far off? And yet the reality is they come back to recognizing actually God is near. And I find in those times when it feels like God is distant, that it's so helpful to think of God as this creator. And I find myself reflecting on kind of the creation story, and I cannot imagine someone who has invested so much time and energy building and crafting something that he loves and he lavishes himself upon, going, okay, I'm going to stand at a distance to that, you know, and that's not how God works.
Mm. I guess we do live in a world though where perception seems to be our truth. But what we're seeing with God is that we need to remind ourselves that our perception is not truth, and that what we see in Scripture of who God is actually the true creator, and that he is always a present God. All right, well, moving on. Rady, you were sharing about how, you know, God is always present. He's always present, and he's present with a purpose. He's always working. And although he may not need our help, he invites us to participate with him wherever we are. And I guess that's the whole idea of the theme. We are here, you are here, wherever you are, God is there. And you said that one of the things that we need to be doing in order to participate with God is identifying the patterns of God. And so my second question is, how do we then identify the patterns of God without just projecting our own desires onto what we are seeing and experiencing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And again, I think that there's a handful of things that I'd suggest that we need to keep in mind in the midst of that. So I think first of all, I remember when I was a young man being really quite worried that I was going to miss God's will for my life, that there was something really precise and specific, and that if I wasn't really on it, like, I was going to miss it and therefore spend my life or a significant portion of it outside of the will of God somehow. And a really wise counselor just said to me, hey, God's ability to speak is infinitely greater than your ability to hear. Mm-hmm. So if God really wants you to be in a particular situation and you're willing to hear and respond, he'll make sure that you know it. And that's always given me great comfort, first of all, to kind of go, I need to kind of probably calm down a little bit on how specific it is that God's calling me to do things. I think another thing to keep in mind is that God has given us particular desires, particular skills, and he's placed us in particular circumstances. And so sometimes the desire of our heart is not the desires that God has for us. Mm. But I think we should not be suspicious of every single desire that we have, you know, to kind of go, maybe we should trust to the fact that the Holy Spirit's at work in our lives. Yeah. And, you know, maybe that is something that God's calling you to. And then I think thirdly, it's important to remember that, well, I'm not sure if it's important to remember, but I think contextually speaking, there are so many good things that we can do that I'm pretty sure even if, for the sake of argument, you could do something outside of the will of God. If we're doing good things, I'm not sure that God's going to be too upset, right? Like if I decide to show mercy to someone rather than encouraging someone, God's not up in heaven kind of face palming, going, what in the world? You know, how dare you show kindness or mercy? I wanted you to encourage them. Like if we're seeking to do the will of God, if we're seeking to do the sorts of things that God would be doing in the world, I think that there's probably, like, I don't want to say that like there's freedom to do whatever we want, but I think that chances are those are probably good things too. And so I would encourage people not to get too fussed about that, while at the same time, I think being aware that sometimes our bias, our desires, our expectations can take the driver's seat and say, okay, God, this is where we're going. You in or what? So I think it has to do with our motivation, but kind of having a bit of a wider context of it is how I would address that.
Yeah, I think it plays into the fact that, and I think you even talked about this on Sunday, sometimes our expectations of seeing the will of God is quite extreme. You know, we think it needs to be a bush that's burning, you know, like Moses, and, you know, we don't see many burning bushes these days, and we kind of need to be comfortable with acknowledging God in the everyday and the mundane, and that he definitely works in that space, and that we can't always just expect those big extreme moments.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts, Coleman?
Whenever I'm asked this question about discerning, I guess, the will of God, I'm reminded of things that people have taught me in prayer ministry training, particularly just about, you know, listening to God. And I think that's the heart of it, is actually learning to listen to God. And that's one of the things that we have been spending time doing as a church, as, you know, as we engage with our My Story times. That's absolutely about learning to listen and observe where God is at work in the world. And I think the more attuned we get at observing where God is at work, listening to what he's saying, the kind of things he's doing, I think the confidence can grow in the way that, you know, we might respond to what it's doing, but also just a few kind of simple things like, does it contradict scripture? Does it seem to kind of ignore what you understand of scripture? You know, just, do you feel like God is leading you to something that you can't see reflected in scripture? Then there's got to be some alarm bells ringing in that space too. Yeah. And I think the final thing I would just say in that space is that we live in community. Like, the reason we are a part of the community of God is that we have an opportunity to kind of help guide and shape one another and listen on behalf of each other to what God might be inviting us into as well.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. I think, you know, scholars talk about the rule of faith, which is, you know, kind of a reference to what the church, capital C, has taught. And so the community of faith plays a really significant role in our identifying those patterns. And I think exactly as you said, Mark, that, you know, if you know, we feel that God is calling us to embezzle funds from some company, you know, that's, it's unlikely that that's an extension of the kingdom of God. It's
doesn't
unlikely.
Seem consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, and not at all, not at all. But if you do tithe from it, at least, no.
No,
terrible. You know, so it's that whole, but it's that whole thing about kind of, and that's an extreme example, obviously, but I think sometimes we just need to be aware of what the wider teaching of our faith community is. Mm. It's always good to include people. I think very rarely are we called to make an immediate snap decision about, is this the work of God? Mm. I think often those big things, we have time. Mm. And so that time allows us to talk to people, to pray about it, to consult scripture and think more fully about it.
Fantastic. All right, well, our third and final question is, how do we deal with the times where God doesn't work in situations the way we assume he would, or in situations we would assume he'd want to work?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think part of it comes down to, what do we mean when we say that God is at work? Mm. Right. So some of the parables that Jesus used to describe the kingdom of God, you know, the parable of the yeast in the dough or of the mustard seed, seem to convey this idea that sometimes the growth of the kingdom is almost imperceptible at first. Like, you can't spot it, you can't see it. You know, the parable of the soils, which is a really significant parable that Jesus teaches, implies that the seed is sown and then you have to kind of wait and see what happens. Yeah. And so sometimes there's a gap or a delay between what we might do in response to an invitation of God, you know, answering a question of a friend or inviting someone to a social event or a church event or asking to pray for someone. There might be a huge gap between that initial instance or several of those and any kind of fruit or result. And so I think we just have to be aware of the gap sometimes between those things. And then I think it's also worth us reflecting on, you know, are we engaging in the things that we believe God's calling us to with the right motivation? You know, to kind of reflect a bit on our, I guess, on our ethic, you know? So if we're always, you know, for instance, if we always find ourselves kind of condemning or taking a kind of an accusatory stance towards the activity of our friends or family members who do stuff that we think is not pleasing to God, then that stance might actually be hindering the work of God in some way. So I think it's helpful for us to kind of observe what we're doing and, is this making sense? Does this fall in line with how God would call us to act? But also, I think quite significantly, to continue to trust that God's at work even when we can't see him.
Mm, yeah. Coleman, any reflections?
You can almost hear behind this question a sense of disappointment. And I think almost my first response to that question is, we don't want to give an answer that just kind of placates that reality.
Yeah.
Because I'm aware, even in my own life, of times where you're just asking God, you know, surely you would want to work in this situation. Surely you would not want to see this pain or this suffering or whatever happen. And it's really important to acknowledge that, to kind of acknowledge that, not with an answer, but kind of go, like, I get that. Mm. And the kind of the struggle is real, I suppose,
yeah.
And the, you know, the pain in that space. But at the same time, we kind of come back to the kind of firm foundations that we have and that is God is always with us. And mm. sometimes the work of God is his presence with us. His presence with us as we face a reality. And yeah, and God works for the good of those who love him. And and by his grace, you know, good things come out of those times of great struggle and trial. And down the line, we realize that we are trained and equipped and able to come alongside those who are experiencing similar difficulties. But the reality in the moment is often, this is hard, and all we have to say is actually God is with us in that space.
Yeah, and I love that idea that his presence is his response, like his comfort to us and his refuge in that moment. It may not be to remove the pain or the struggle, but you know, we do know that he is our comforter, and that that can be his response, and what a great response it is.
Now, I think the challenge on top of all of that is not to reduce the work of God. And this is, I think, you know, what you said about, you know, the disappointment that may lurk behind that question. Yeah, we can't read too much into that, but I think we've all experienced that, whether it be that we've prayed and then God hasn't responded, or we've taken a step of faith and nothing seems to have happened. And while there may be a gap in the timing or whatever it might be, there is that disappointment. And I think one of the ways that we can protect ourselves from that disappointment is lowering the bar to the point that God doesn't really need to do anything apart from just, you know, to go back to the Michelangelo picture, just stay on the throne and be in control, and we'll just assume it's all good and we'll get on with it down here. And I think the challenge of Scripture for us is to have high expectations and to moderate our disappointment in faith. And that, I mean, that's probably a whole other podcast.
Yeah, it probably is, to tell you the truth.
But an important challenge, I think.
Absolutely. Mm.
Fantastic. Well, to the marks in the room, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure that you're there at our 6 p.m. service on Sundays and that you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. Thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.